podcast intro? Welcome to the First Flight Agency podcast. Our aim is to conversate about the topics that interest us, the current events that inspire us, and the experiences that shape us to be a more effective team and deliver creative solutions for our clients. In this case, our topic is an experience that has shaped us to be a more effective team and as a team as a result of work from home orders last year, which we all experienced one way or the other. And for that, I have Keith Borshak, our creative director.
Hello.
And Grace O. Ward Crawford, our lead project manager.
Hello.
We brought Grace in here specifically because she is our lead project manager.
And a good one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So I started out in project management at an advertising agency almost 15 years ago at this point. And back then, the only job that could not be done from home was the project manager.
Of course.
So Keith, I'm sure, remembers, but...
Oh, yeah.
We would have folders. They were called job jackets, fancy term. And we would literally print out the jobs on pieces of paper. And my job was to carry the folders around to all the important team members and have them sign off on the projects. We even did that with websites.
Good Lord.
Print out websites on paper and route those around the agency.
If you were anything like us back when we did it, we would always have, I think, like, there were four different color schemes. There was
The
pink was sort of the generic, nothing special about it, it's just a job.
Uh-huh.
Yellow was like, there was some pressing deadline. Green was pro bono. And blue was something else. But they were all color-coded. And
You'd
go into a copywriter's office, and it was always sort of a competition. Like, how many job jackets do they have on their wall?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, red for us was hot. Like, you better get that off your desk, that hot potato. We couldn't call out sick. If we did, we used a sick day. We couldn't work from home at all because you had to be there moving your job jackets around. So I feel like it was quite an adjustment for me. With COVID, just because we had to take everything digitally speaking. I could no longer shout over the wall to Keith about stuff.
That I got very used to.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing it for like 30 years. I literally would have, and at any given day, have four traffic people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a manager or a job, you know, a head of the coordination, just pop by your office, you know, kind of a social visit, but also always to say, so you're still good for tomorrow at 3, right? And,
yes.
You know, it's good and bad. I mean, it became a real crutch, but, you know, it's like anything else. The information put into it is what you get out of it.
Yeah.
And I used to whine incessantly about having to read through endless email chains.
Yes.
To get to the thing that I knew that I saw 2 weeks ago that's very important now, and sifting through endless chains of emails became a regular thing, and I hated it. And I knew there was a solution out there somewhere, and thank God somebody figured it out, because I do a lot of hunting around online about other agencies just to see what other people are doing, and I'm really surprised at the number of shops that folded during COVID. And typically it wasn't the big ones, but a lot of regional players, they're gone.
Wow,
they're
really?
Gone. Yep.
Because of COVID.
Yeah. Yep. Inability to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I wrote a blog post about adapting, and it was all about how I was seeing businesses around here adapt to serving clients, you know, restaurants who were, quote unquote, fine dining, mm-hmm. that are suddenly basically fast food pickup.
Yeah, margaritas to go.
That's exactly what happened to Kurtz. Yeah, we'll put that in the link over to that in the show notes.
Great.
So
make
sure it's easy to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't surprised that we did so well, but I was really happy when, you know, in talking to management about how we were doing in the midst of all this, and I was impressed with us. I mean, we kept the ball rolling and basically didn't miss a step.
Yeah. Right.
Even with me being such a late adopter.
I used to feel a little bit self-conscious about it when, especially in the beginning when I would talk to people and that were office workers, you know, not service. And, you know, they'd be like, well, basically at a standstill. And I think we were lucky that we had just secured work. So we were able to keep rolling on that work initially and use that time to transition into using Trello. Didn't we start with something else?
We started with Mondays,
yeah.
Right?
That's
and
right.
That really Monday. We never really adopted that.
I think that was because that was before we needed it.
Exactly. You know? And it just was, it was organized differently from what I recall. But yeah, I think a huge point to your point, Frank, is that, you know, we didn't need it. So it was like, well, am I going to type on my computer in a corner creepily by myself when Keith's right there and I can just talk to him,
right.
You know? So that's why I feel like we didn't really leverage that then. Now I can't picture my job or my role without having some kind of software, project management software, because, I mean, it's great. You set due dates, and I always get little reminders to remind you guys.
Thank God.
It's been good. I mean, I remember in the beginning, we were kind of struggling a little bit with, like, because we were using Google Chats. And, like,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was distracting. As somebody who has ADHD and can get distracted very easily, you know, having all these chats and different rooms going off and this and this. And then, like you were saying with emails, things get buried.
Yeah.
I still feel like we did a pretty good job for what lack of tools we had.
I mean, I think it was very useful as a tool just to get us communicating.
Yes.
And
dip our toes in.
Right. And on small jobs, it was fine. Mm-hmm. Quick turnaround jobs. You know, we are chatting in the moment for a day, a few hours, maybe even a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
But once it got into those larger projects.
Oh my gosh, it was a mess.
And for you, I didn't even think about it. You know, you had all those conversations going on at the same time, really. Whereas for any of us, we're just focused on that one task, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, most likely one or few tasks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then you're right. It even got out of control for just simple jobs because there was so much else going on once we did pick up and work again.
Yeah.
And it's funny reading industry stuff. You always hear industry terms, and you know, I'd heard the term over communication.
Mm-hmm.
And it never, I felt like it never really applied to me because you couldn't tell me enough what needed to be done or, you know, give me enough information about particulars of a creative problem.
But I think, sorry to interrupt, but I think you speak to it in your old jobs. You know, you talk about
definitely
people, and maybe you just weren't thinking of it in the way that of people giving you too much information and that conflicting.
And it goes hand in hand with, you know, duplicating processes or duplicating pieces of information can be good and bad. I mean, it's great if a piece of information also happens to be an email.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point about chat, like not in something that's going to immediately pull my head out of thinking or writing or designing and having to read through a very quick anecdote about a job that's moving through the system.
That may not necessarily have anything to do with you.
Exactly.
Because everybody was on a chat.
Exactly.
And so I could, you know, be like, hey, Joe Schmo, where's this at? And then you're being bothered, you're being pinged, and it has nothing to do with you, but you're reading through the conversation to make sure. And I think it was kind of a huge time suck for a bit.
Sure.
But yeah, when we were able to get on Trello and, you know, how every card is a specific task, then only the people who are related to the task get notified. So I think that was a way better way of, you know, being notified and being in the loop that way.
This reminds me of when we brought it up the other day, that book that I was talking about that I heard a discussion on, that's what I was just looking up, if that was distracting to you, speaking of distractions, called A World Without Email by Cal Newport. I mean, that's exactly really what he's getting at, is the distraction that communication channel causes, and it's worse with something like chat or Slack, for instance, which a lot of organizations I know do use.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's just constant notifications.
Yeah, can't get anything done when you're reading through all those notifications.
When I started to reach out to some of my counterparts that I knew were in different parts of the country who were dealing with the same thing, in agencies about this size or a little larger, a couple of people were going crazy because they were still we had committed to Trello. I talked to one creative director who said, we're dipping our toe in Trello, Workamajig, and there was one other platform. Oh. I said, are they all working together? And he said, no. He said, they're all the same thing. They're all project management.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
But it's driving me nuts. He said, you think you get a lot of notifications about stuff. He said, it's never ending.
Yeah, yeah. And what I like about Trello, and this isn't sponsored by Trello or anything, is that you can, I love automation. I mean, that makes my life a lot easier. I mean, maybe one day I'll be out of a job because of automation, but it's great that, I have certain emails that get flagged and then immediately create cards in Trello. So, even though I have emails happening and that's a distraction, I know it's all going to populate in Trello in one place. So that's, the word.
To quell your fear about that, about being replaced by software, in my mind, just like you were the function in the agency that couldn't be working from home, previous, now what you input into the system matters. And, the big benefit of someone like you, number one, having been on both sides back in the day when we weren't on Trello, is that there's a huge component to project management that's purely, a very personal, what's the word I'm looking for? The humane part of it is, you start to become the person who, from a 30,000 foot level, starts to see everything going on at the same time in the agency and are the first one to say, maybe this doesn't need priority right now because I know he's working on this.
That's true.
And that's gonna eat up his next 2 days. So, that part of it, I can't imagine how that would be automated.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know how intelligent AI is going to get, but yeah.
Because I could see every account manager putting something in his pressing because it's their project.
Sure.
Automatons can't replace you, Grace.
Right. Well, thank you.
As smart as a program can get, it's not true AI, which you would need to manage that priority level. And
sure.
That's true.
And give people real feedback. The direction of an agency, you have a huge impact on that because you can say, we are losing efficiency here or, and the system wouldn't be able to say that because it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
I know way, way back in the day, project managers were, and I don't know if their title even was project manager, but I know that there was a very close relationship between project management and creative directors because, when agencies get really busy and then suddenly there's a new business pitch and you've got to find people to put on that, who's the one person in the agency who knows exactly what everyone else is working on? So that's another reality, is that that's such an all-encompassing view of what's going on day to day, literally hour to hour, that it's invaluable.
Yeah, that is true. That is a good point. Yeah, we would still need that overarching view.
I read the same article you did about that. What was it called? The
Cal Newport's A World Without Email.
I think it was from NPR.
Yes, I heard it. So okay. But it was an interesting discussion that they had.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's worth.
It made me think about how often now I'm not scrubbing through emails looking for valuable pieces of information.
Right.
Every once in a while, usually my fault, but
We should link to that in the show notes as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. The other thing that came to mind was anytime I read stuff like that or hear interviews or whatever, of course, the natural thing to do is internalize it and say, how would this work in my office? I'm curious, Trello, how does that work in what other industries are using it?
I tried to use it for construction with Jim.
That's right.
Tried to manage him, my husband, for those who are listening. And it did not work.
Really?
Well, I think it's part of a learning curve. I mean, he's a carpenter, so I mean, he just discovered color printers were a thing only about 5 years ago. So he's not a...
God bless him.
I know. But yeah, it didn't really work. And we use a different system that's, you know, more of a communication tool with the clients. And then there's like Gantt charts and stuff that he can like visualize a schedule as opposed to just seeing like due dates and tasks related to due dates. So.
Yeah, that helps me a lot too, personally. If I were in your position, I would need some visual aid.
It makes me wonder too, is there going to be a point at which we start to market our own process? That might be a really valuable thing for especially business owners who are busy enough and they don't want to learn new software. They don't want to
to implement like a process with that software because that was something we had to do with Trello too.
Right.
But we had to be flexible, and it was great getting everybody's feedback over the course of however many months, like, hey, this isn't really working for me. I need like a checklist, or I need this. And so like it evolved. So we weren't so like stuck in our ways out of the gate and just could let it grow and become what it is now.
And you, especially being the project manager and your experience with agile methodology, mm-hmm. I mean, that's exactly what it is. You know, you iterate and you make a big process into smaller pieces that you are constantly mm-hmm. examining and reworking if needed.
Yep. Yeah. That's what I like to do. Just have that flexibility and not be so stuck in, you know, where we're going and be able to branch off and improve for sure. But there are like things that are so important to not lose with this technology, and just like having personal interactions and calls. And like I caught myself when we first started getting back into the office when, you know, Ashley was here, and I'm like 5 feet away from her, and I'm shooting her a message in Trello. And I stopped myself, and I was like, what am I doing? She's right here. This is so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to document, like, hey, you know, just what we discussed. But I was, like, realizing I was going to this weird, like, antisocial kind of hide behind my computer thing when it's like, we should just have a conversation. She's 5 feet away from me.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Hence all my you know, quit chats to you. Do you have time for a 2-minute phone call?
Yeah, I appreciate phone calls.
Oh, I have to have those. I have to have, you know, nuance is can be such a demon in email. You know, you read an email and God knows what mood the person was when they wrote it. And it's different when you talk.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like in Trello, I'm just more like getting to the point because, I mean, I'm typing. So it's like I'm very cut and dry. And I feel like I wouldn't say I have a bubbly personality, but, you know.
I would.
My bubbly personality does not come off in Trello because it's like I just don't have the time to flower up the language. So, yeah, it's like important for me for people to realize that I'm still human. I'm not like a weird robot behind Trello typing up things.
They're going to institute a bubbly button, a filter that you press and it rearranges. Right. Just like, what's the Grammarly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So true.
Yeah, and I think too, I think one of the things that we did pretty quickly was understanding that balance.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there were things that were happening in the process that, aside from my own, you know, typical slow to adopt stuff like that, there were things that I noticed pretty quickly. I'm like, okay, that can't happen. You know, this work that's a rough draft of something shouldn't be viewed by everybody just yet. Mm-hmm. It's not done. And if it's public and people start to chime in before I've even finished it.
Oh, that would drive me nuts.
No, it's going to take longer.
It did.
Yeah.
It did drive Keith nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's all chime in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chimely.
Yeah, Chimely.
Bingo.
Band name called it. So I wonder what the next Trello is going to be. Because, you know,
Chimely.
Probably going to happen. Right. Yeah.
When these things become mainstream, I kind of look at other sites and you know, project related stuff online and think, you know, why didn't Dropbox do this? But I wonder now too. Yeah, it's like, who's going to gobble up Trello, and what is it going to become? What's going to be the next?
Yeah.
Well, going back to this book, you know, his whole point is that we've gone too far. You said we've struck a balance. I think we do use Trello, maybe not in the way that they intend, because we do try and keep our interactions
definitely
personal and physical, mm-hmm, as much as we can.
Yeah, well, you have to, because what we do when it leaves our computers, ultimately, it has to communicate to human beings and not another website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just data. You're writing language that, again, whether it's an ad, whether it's a digital ad or if it's a social post, you know, you're still connecting emotionally with people, and that's not going to happen if you follow everything to the T on something like Trello. You know, there are going to be some of those subtleties that are just going to be lost.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and like I've witnessed, and I think this is a thing with chat, text message, but there's things that are lost in translation. And so you'll
definitely
have two people having a conversation about two completely different things. And there's a big disconnect. And sometimes I have to be like, okay, let's get on a call because this isn't working.
Yeah, it's amazing how different that is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, a 2-second phone call.
Right.
I mean, it's way more efficient
sometimes.
Problem solved, as opposed to a, you know, a novel of commentary on a card, you know.
I agree.
Subtly shifting discussion to our time limit.
Are we there already?
Oh, I think we've long passed.
Wow. This is so cool.
I think we're at close to maybe 40 minutes.
All right.
Oh, wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
I don't know. I didn't look at the clock when we started. That was my mistake.
You can always cut this up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna have to happen.
Right.
You know, we've gotten direct feedback that 15 minutes is our target.
Grace, can you put that in Trello?
Yes.
Whatever we all say, let's get rid of, then I'll cut that.
You mean creative directed?
What?
All right. What a concept.
And then you could manage that, Grace?
Yeah, okay. I'll oversee.
And then I will execute.
Oh, that's great.
Excellent.
All right. So here concludes our First Flight podcast. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Grace.
Thank you.
And thank all of you out there in listener land.
I see a naming project come up.
Jim, don't listen to this.